Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. In the sports world, fans get their insight from their favorite radio show, Calvin and Campbell.
I listen to public radio.
There's Elijah Campbell, an easygoing sports trivia king.
That's a clean burning hell, I tell you what.
And Calvin Smith, the analytics mastermind.
Who ate all the pecan sandies?
This is their show.
I'm ready!
Calvin and Campbell
on ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
From the guys who brought you debating, is it yellow or gold? It's Calvin and Campbell here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Hour number two on March 7th, the day before I turn 25. I'll give myself a happy early birthday on that one.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Another two year birthdays older. In the last couple weeks, Captain Kurt, our producer, and
that's right.
Elijah.
March babies.
I'm like, what, 4 days older than you are now? Five days. Yeah.
Captain Kurt turned 25 earlier this week. I want to turn 25 tomorrow. That's just
I'll
how it is.
I'll be 22 in June.
Wow.
I mean, we're all growing up so fast.
Yeah, we're all years older, but not years wiser. Which leads us to this. It's time to show off how non-wise we are by saying our hot topics. We're going to say something today.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say that to somebody.
And I'll start us off. I'll hit lead off here. I'll get my Ichiro Suzuki game on right now, and I'll hit lead off. The other night, was it Thursday night? Thursday night. Steph Curry made his return to the NBA. He missed 59 games or so with a broken hand, had multiple surgeries. And what I'm going to say is that the NBA is better when Steph Curry is back and this Warriors team is healthy. And I'm personally, he's the greatest shooter in the history of basketball. The game misses him. He didn't have a great shooting night the other night. It was 3-for-12. He's probably going to have to work his way back into it. And the NBA has gotten a lot more balanced now that Kevin Durant has split and the Warriors dynasty has kind of dispersed.
Good for competitive balance.
Exactly. Good for competitive balance. They're not going to win 73 games or 67 to 73 games every year. That's just not going to happen anymore. But when the Warriors will come back, the NBA will be even better. And I'm personally excited for that. I know a lot of the Warriors were the villains of the NBA, and they're going to be now, even when they're healthy and not, even if they're not as good, even though they're beating everyone by a billion each game, they're still going to be the villains because they did have that run of dominance. That's just how this kind of stuff works. But I think it's great for the NBA, and it's great for Steph Curry to play and not let the Warriors totally tank. And this is why. This is not a draft class that has a tankable player in it. Being embarrassingly bad works really well, and trying to get the number one pick specifically works really well when there's a Zion Williamson or an Anthony Davis or a LeBron James or a surefire, like a can't-miss player that is supposed to be taken number one overall. There's just not that in this draft. Anthony Edwards might end up being number one. James Wiseman might be number one. I don't think I would take either of those guys if I had the number one pick. And that's the thing. There's not one guy in this draft that is changing your franchise today. So the difference between getting the number one pick and number five really isn't that dramatic as it would be almost any other year. The Warriors can win and win a little bit, and it still not matter. Shoot, they could still even be the one seed. Or not one seed, get the number one pick, win the lottery. The Hawks are winning some games on accident. The teams around them are winning some games on accident. They got several games in hand, or I guess you would say games behind these teams for the worst record. And they still have like a 14% chance to get the number one overall pick. But letting Steph come in here, and even though they're meaningless games, is good for him to get back in shape. And it's good for the Warriors to figure out what they have going into next year. And then when Klay Thompson's healthy, they will be good for the NBA again, and they will be back. They will be a contender in the Western Conference and the entire NBA. Just because they're bad this year, and we're having our jokes out now, we're having fun at the Warriors' expense all season long because they have been embarrassingly bad and have games that start players some of us have never heard of. I think whenever they come back next year fully loaded, They're going to be A-okay, and that will be good for basketball. So that is what I have to say this week.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
It's my favorite segment here on Calvin and Campbell. Every week, Calvin Smith and Elijah Campbell. And mine, I think I have two shorter abbreviated ones. This first one, I'm going to keep it pretty quick. Wash your hands, please.
Oh, yeah.
Wash your hands. Okay, look. There's 100%. I'm getting a little bit out of the sports realm here. I'm sorry. I don't stick to sports, okay? I'm not even getting political. But the coronavirus, you know, it may not be the thing that ends civilization, like a lot of poorly written headlines may indicate. But please, just do everybody a favor. If you're sick, don't go out in public. Please wash your hands, okay? Put your mouth in your elbow or wherever, except your hands when you cough or something. It just makes it so much easier to not spread a virus. It just helps people not be sick, okay? Please just do basic little sanitary things. Every store is completely sold out of hand sanitizer right now, okay? Look, I get it. We should be taking this seriously. Just do everybody a favor and keep your hygiene at a reasonable level, and don't go around getting everybody sick. Practice some caution here, please.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Also, there's a very prestigious conference up in the Northeast for sports analytics coming up. Actually, it happened this week. Yeah, it did. Sloan Sports Analytics Conference. Now, of course, I've made it a weekly thing here that I go on some kind of analytics rant, and I don't really have one in store this week. But there is a panel with Brian Burke, who is one of the fathers of modern football analytics, Mina Kimes, ESPN's Mina Kimes, and Mike Leach on a football analytics conference. Huh. And oh my gosh, Mike Leach on a panel about applied math in football.
Mike Leach on a panel about anything.
How on earth is anybody going to keep that man on topic? I just want to see it so bad. Sadly, Sloan is a very, very, very expensive conference to attend, not including travel costs and the current travel concerns that are weighing down a lot of conferences right now. So my second say something is how awesome it is to have Mike Leach on your sports analytics panel. That is my second say something of the week.
Say that to me. Say that to anybody. Say it to somebody.
Mike, I could sit in a crowd and listen to Mike Leach be on a panel about anything. Football math, pirates, personal hygiene, the coronavirus. Like, this guy can talk about anything, and I'm going to be interested. Not because I agree with him, because he's bat blank crazy, and he will just say stuff. So, talk about someone that's going to say something. Mike Leach will say something in anything, and he is almost must-watch television because he is the way he is. I mean, I would eventually one day, because I know some of these Sloan Analytics conferences do, they record everything and they do eventually post them on to like
yes.
YouTube or something. You can go back now and watch some stuff from Sloan Analytics conferences from the past. So the day that that one comes out and that one's accessible to the public is one, it'll be a day that I'm very excited about.
I will be watching.
100%.
Just so, like, if you aren't on Twitter, and I totally understand why you wouldn't be, a very small proportion of the actual population is on Twitter. Mike Leach is one of the people on Twitter, and normally with, like, big athletic figures, you get these very, you know, normal, hey, we're super excited about today, and they're run by other people who aren't the actual person, and they're just very bland, kind of follows. They're only really there just to, like, do promotions and stuff like that. Well, Mike Leach actually runs his Twitter account, and he loves to tweet memes. So if you don't know what a meme is, it's basically just a picture with a caption that's funny. Mike Leach tweeted a photo of, it's photoshopped, of these tigers in a hot tub. And it is captioned, like I was saying, the circus is just one of my careers. The real money comes from Frosted Flakes.
Oh,
tigers
wow.
in a hot tub.
Wow.
That man good. Is leading the future of Mississippi State football. Hail State is all I have to say. The air raid in the SEC, I'm wow. here for it, and I'm so excited.
The guy, the mastermind behind the air raid offense, one of the original architects of the air raid offense, is the same guy that is posting the same weird Facebook memes that like your parents would send or send you or share on their Facebook pages. Like, that's the kind of guy Mike Leach is. Like, the things that come on Mike Leach's Twitter are things that you'd expect, like, your parents to put on Facebook. And that's hilarious. And it's hilarious to think that that is the guy who is the mastermind behind the air raid offense, an offense that maybe 25, 30 some odd years after he helped invent it is taking over certain parts of college football and is slowly eking its way into the NFL, and the philosophy behind it slowly eking its way into the NFL. That, to me, is absolutely fascinating.
Here's another good one for you from old Mike before we get to break. Little known fact, Captain Hook bought his hook from a secondhand store.
Oh, my God.
if you know me, wow. You know I'm all about horrendous jokes, just awful jokes. I totally deserved that loser game show drop from Captain Kurt. Thank you. I deserved it.
Earned it. Mike Leach earned it, too. That's a team effort. That's a team
effort. He and I are working in conjunction on this.
Oh, yeah. He posted it. You said, you're like, this is what we need to go to have out over the airwaves. It's all fun and games. Mike Leach is an American treasure, and there's probably no more entertaining human being outside of me, Bill Walton, on this planet. But speaking of Bill Walton and basketball, I don't know if you've checked your calendar lately, but it's March, my dudes. It is March, meaning we are 1 week away from Selection Sunday and March Madness. We're going to get into that a little bit.
Really? 1 week?
1 week. Wow. 1 week from tomorrow will be Selection Sunday.
Time flies. Wow.
The OVC turn. There'll be tickets punched to the NCAA tournament tonight. It's here. The madness is upon us, and we're going to get you ready. On the other side, Calvin and Campbell, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. I'm about to run through a wall in here. You hear the music. You know it's March. I've been on a natural high of life since the calendar turned. It was torture for me to have an extra day of February because it's a leap year. But alas.
CBS really does have the best.
Oh my God, yes. College football is really good too. This is elite.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like,
elite.
Part of what makes a really great theme song is the fact that it was part of my childhood, as we talk about theme songs here on Calvin and Campbell, is that it's been there since I was a child, and so I have these like nostalgic memories of being little and not knowing really anything about the games, but being 7 or 8 years old and watching it, and then always having this intro and outro with the voice of Iron Eagle or Jim Nantz or somebody iconic on the microphone.
It adds to everything this great event already is. The NCAA tournament is so great. It's my favorite sporting event on the planet. And the theme song just goes perfectly with it. And I think a lot of that does have to do with hearing it at such a young age. And that is like one of the reasons that I fell in love with college basketball. And it was because of the event, the craziness of the event, the theme song. But all like, and that's why I'm so excited right now that it is March. And believe it or not, there will be a ticket punch tonight in Evansville, Indiana, between Belmont and Murray State. One of those two teams will punch their ticket to the big dance tonight. So it's here. And there's not been as much talk this year. And Calvin, you're more of a casual observer of college basketball.
Yes. Between from the Calvin and Campbell aspect of it, mm-hmm. I, Calvin, am probably the much more casual basketball fan for sure.
Right. I watch college basketball all year long. I have watched a ton this year because I am a junkie. That is what I do. I will sit around. I have ESPN Plus for the sole purpose of being able to watch OVC games and SoCon games. I have watched a ton of Wofford basketball this year. Not a lot of people around here say that. So, like, regardless.
Go Terriers.
Go Terriers. They have one of the cutest logos or mascots in all college sports.
Cutest.
Up there with Youngstown State's penguin. And that is a fact. That is not an opinion. That is a fact.
Bo Pelini, former coach at Youngstown State's football team.
Oh, is he? Is he at Youngstown?
I think he used to. Well, that was after he left Nebraska. But I just think it's so funny that the nut job that Bo Pelini is ended up with a penguin as his mascot.
With a penguin as his mascot. An adorable penguin, by the way. It's up there with Wofford in terms of cuteness. But as we're getting back to what we were talking about earlier, as a casual observer, what about outside of, I guess, just the semantics and just like the drama that is the NCAA tournament, is going to get you to watch this year, because college basketball doesn't have that star. They don't have that overwhelming star like Zion Williamson. There's not an overwhelmingly great team that blows everyone out. What would draw you, I guess, as a casual observer this year?
For me, I think it's the same every year. As someone who is a lot more casual about how they follow college basketball, you know, if there's a game on a Saturday and game day's at a good spot, I'll have it on the TV, but it's definitely more of a background thing for me. It's not like the same way I watch every football game all the time. So what draws me in March is, personally, is just kind of the nerd I am, the thought of getting to learn everything in a short time span. Once you hit tournament time, that's when I'm like, oh, good, this is where I get to get myself all caught up on everything that's happened, and I get to go through all the rosters, all the numbers, go back and, you know, maybe watch a couple big moments that happened in the season, and that's what excites me, is getting to learn everything in such a short time span, because that's where so much of the action is. That's where having 68 teams in a tournament becomes craziness. Super fun, because there's this overload of information where it's all at you at once. And so that kind of does play into the excitement of it, but just the learning of it all and that whole, I can get as caught up as I want to in this time span, because I just don't, I have a lot of other things going on. I'm not saying I'm like, I'm so busy or something, but I have a lot of other things that I'm thinking about besides college basketball. Man. So the ability to get it all up to speed quickly.
Oh, yeah, and this is the perfect event for that. It really is. It is a sensory overload, especially the first couple days of the NCAA tournament. The first two rounds, there's games on all day from, like, noon to 9 p.m. Like, there's
constant
multiple games
entertainment.
On.
And you'll watch them all, because usually, in some aspect, they're at least good, or you have a vested interest in them, because everybody fills out a bracket.
Everyone. It's like fantasy football, but, like, condensed in a couple weeks.
In a couple weeks. All the excitement, and it's more random.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Your sister, who knows nothing about sports, can win it every other year.
Oh, my younger sister, McKenna Campbell, has won family bracket pools before.
Oh, my sister, Jillian Smith, wins easily sometimes.
She doesn't watch basketball. She
my
has
mom,
no idea what's going
my
on.
My mom does not watch college basketball, does not care about basketball one bit. We'll win the pool in our family, and it doesn't matter how much research I did.
That's the most beautiful thing about college basketball, too, is that, like, you can be someone like you don't have to be someone like me who's watching it all the time. I've watched so many games this year. I am a college basketball, like, I would say, I guess junkie is the only word I can use to describe that. And you don't have to be that to win, like, a bracket pool, you know? Like, you can just go in there and be like, you know what? I'm going to go. As I hit the microphone here, I'm going to pick games based on the logos, and you can still have a good shot because there's so much parity in the sport.
The colors that I like the most. We can get back into our color discussion.
We will throw hands because I might be a little colorblind, and I can't tell the difference in yellow and gold. Apparently.
Maybe a lot of colorblind.
Maybe a lot.
When we talked about that in the break, but again, we digress again.
Yeah, that has become a hot topic on the show, is my ability to distinguish yellow and gold. But it's March 7th, man, and like right now, this is also really good. If you're at home or getting ready to be at home from now until the top of the hour, Dayton is hosting college game day, and that place is rocking. That building is packed right now, and I don't think that's at like an old arena, I guess, because it's not very large, but. I mean, that's an incredible atmosphere right now. We only have a couple more games. That's the one part that I'm a little bummed out about when the college basketball season ends, is that the home court aspect of it. Like, tonight's Duke and Carolina.
Doesn't get bigger than that.
At Cameron Indoor. That place is going to go bananas, and it does it every year.
What's really cool about college basketball, too, is that you can have game day go to Dayton. In what other sport is college game day a big ESPN event going to a small school like that?
Absolutely not.
Definitely not happening for football.
Yeah.
They will choose going to a bad big-time game sometimes over a better, smaller game. Now, granted, they'll make their way out to Minnesota and stuff like that, but that's still a big state school.
It is. It's a Big Ten. It's a Big Ten school still.
Yes. So that's in college baseball, I wouldn't say you get that kind of interest until you get to Omaha.
Right.
So there's not really even like a game day for that.
Exactly. And like a lot of the big games like that are on campus, or like it's just almost limited to super regionals.
Yeah.
You know?
And I love some college baseball.
So. Oh, yeah. College baseball is one of the most underrated sporting events on the planet. Absolutely. I guess if we're putting like sporting events or tournaments or competitions like that and you're listing the most or putting a list of overrated, underrated, the College World Series or college baseball playoff. The tournament, you would say, the larger scheme.
Yeah, the regionals to supers, yes.
Supers, yeah, is incredibly underrated. Incredibly.
Enough. Well, because that's the thing. Like, you can see Kumar Rocker or somebody like that absolutely come to life and become an instant star in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, just like you can with any kind of playoffs, but in baseball, it's so localized and segmented, kind of, that these things can really hide in the shadows and then just boom, Kumar Rocker is the number one topic on ESPN for a week.
Exactly. And dominates the discussion here for a while, too. And before we get to break, I got to say, if you have ESPN Plus, great, great investment, by the way. It's only like $5 a month. You get to watch a lot of cool stuff. You get all the 30 for 30s. But like if you're me, you get to watch OVC basketball. You get to watch SoCon basketball, some mid-major schools. Dayton is playing for their college game day game. They're hosting George Washington. Now, George Washington's obviously not very good this year.
Not the president.
Yeah,
or former president.
Not the former president. Yeah, not first president George Washington, the fellow that is on your $1 bill. He will not be making an appearance. He has not been with us for a while.
Heard he was tall for his day. He could have played basketball.
He might have been able to. Abraham Lincoln would hoop. If we're talking about presidents who could hoop, Abraham Lincoln probably had a silky jumper at like 6'3", 6'4". The guy's perfect for today's game. But you want to watch Obi Toppin. I say if you're doing anything today and you're able to watch Dayton George Washington, watch Obi Toppin. I think that guy in a non-mind-numbingly good draft, a weaker NBA draft, this guy could be one of the best players in it. Guy is worth the price of admission. And Dayton also might be one of the best two-point shooting basketball teams of all time. I want to say they went like they missed one two-point shot last Friday against Davidson, like 26 for 27. I've been high on this team all year. Highly suggest watching them today as they take on George Washington in front of the College Game Day crew. So that is something to look forward to as well. But we're going to revisit something to look forward to on the other side of this break here on Calvin and Campbell, and it might include a guy whose name rhymes with Bomb Trady. We'll get into that a little more on the other side. Calvin and Campbell, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came.
Oh, yes. It's very ironic that Captain Kurt has played this coming back from break here on Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I actually have been getting into Cheers lately. I've never watched it until maybe like the last 2 weeks, and it's been suggested to me.
Is that the one with Norm?
Norm, yeah,
that's the one. Okay,
a very young Ted Danson as well. Great hair, Ted Danson.
I don't know who Ted Danson is.
Our listeners should. He is a popular fella. Very good actor in his prime, Ted Danson, during Cheers. And you heard it on the promo earlier that coming up later today here on these very airwaves, the Preds will play at the Stars, pregame at noon, puck drop at 1. The Preds look to get 2 straight against the Stars.
They need it.
They need it. And, I mean, they showed a little bit of life the other day when they blanked the Stars 2-0. Donut, UC Saros pitching a shutout, huge. And then the mailman comes on after. Why do I say the mailman? Because UNC and Duke always delivers. And that will be following up Preds and Stars here on 102.5 The Game. 94.9 Game 2, Kentucky at Florida. Pre-game started 4 minutes ago. Game should be starting, I guess, maybe in 30 minutes or so. I think it's an early tip. Southern Miss at MTSU. Coverage will start at 4:30. That will be the season finale for the MTSU men's basketball team. And we're going to revisit something right now. But we're going to look at it at a different angle. We're going to be talking Tom Brady and Ryan Tannehill, but
can't stop talking about him.
There's a little strategy behind maybe Tom Brady rumors flying around. I think, and you sent this to me.
It was an article on NESN, so that's why I put this in here.
This is
because
good.
How we talk about checkers versus chess, who's smart in the NFL and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
John Robinson, is there a chance that this whole Tom Brady thing just kind of smoke out there? He is like a caveman with a couple sticks, and he's just standing there, just generating all this fire
as much as he can.
Just whoo, whoo, whoo. So, Ryan Tannehill, he can use that as leverage against him. Say, hey, Ryan, you're not going to come back at XYZ price? I don't know, $26 million, whatever number John Robinson wants. I don't know what number John Robinson wants. Let's say it's $26 million. Oh, Tannehill, you think you can go get a 29? Well, then you won't get it from us because we got Tom Brady coming in. So, sucks to suck. You can leave the place, the only place where you've had significant success in the NFL, and go risk it and not be a successful quarterback.
Yeah, you'd stay here where everybody knows your name. and continue the success you had from last year, even though it might not be completely sustainable. But what NSCN did report, and they're reporting this, the Titans reportedly are using Tom Brady as leverage to, of course, quote-unquote, lock in Ryan Tannehill's the verbiage they used. So, Calvin, I want to ask you this question first. Is this a genius tactic by John Robinson to lock in Ryan Tannehill at the price they want, or do you think it will backfire and Ryan Tannehill will be more likely to leave because of all this interest that's kind of floated around?
I know this. If I'm Ryan Tannehill, quite frankly, you know, I want to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. I absolutely want to have a good career. But the Hall of Fame, I'm sure he's willing to admit it, not really in the cards right now. So you know what I would be thinking about? Go get as much money as possible. I don't care who it's with. Pay me $30 million a year if I'm Ryan Tannehill, because he can probably go get it from some team who needs a quarterback.
Oh, there's a lot of teams in the market that are going
to
need one.
So if I'm Ryan Tannehill, if John Robinson came to me and said, hey, you got to take a discount because we can go get Tom Brady, I'm not taking a discount because I want to make as much money as possible while I can, go get the guaranteed money, and then get out of the league and save my brain.
Exactly. And that's the mindset of these players.
To answer your question, it is a huge risk. I see John Robinson's strategy, and I think there's value in it because if I'm Ryan Tannehill, I also want to stay in Tennessee because I can still make a large sum of money in a place where I've had success, a good place to live. I don't know what his family situation is like. I don't know how much they like being in this area. They may love it. They may not. He may want to move back to Texas when he retires, what have you. I'm sure they have enough money to have a couple houses, but the point still stands. Things worked here.
Yeah,
things probably
really well.
Are generally pretty happy here. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I totally see it from both sides. If I'm John Robinson, I don't know if I would be leveraging it like that. And that's not to say that I think John Robinson is doing this like this intentionally. But I see why he would do it. And if I'm Ryan Tannehill, I don't care. Just give me the money.
Yeah. And I'm glad we're hitting on this, too, because we've talked ad nauseum the Tom Brady situation from the Titans standpoint and being a general manager and what you do. Do you want Tom Brady? You want to pick Ryan Tannehill? Ryan Tannehill is in a very interesting position too, because this year and this NFL offseason, there are a lot of quarterbacks hitting the market like Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers,
Jameis Winston, who will get good money because despite all the interceptions, not the worst quarterback in the NFL. I mean, yes, it's funny to make fun of Jameis, but the guy, in terms of if you need a starter, he can go out there and play games.
Yeah.
And
he can throw you 30 touchdowns.
Good enough to get you 8 wins at some point.
Exactly. And, hey, he had LASIK done over the offseason. He is – Jameis Squinston is no more. The man can see now. He is apparently played on a, what, torn meniscus during the season?
Yeah.
That was reported. So you'll get a fully healthy, clear eyes, full heart Jameis Winston, which has some value. Now, his decision-making doesn't help much with the interceptions. Yet that's part of the Jameis Winston experience as part of the package. But, like, that is an interesting free agent option. Teddy Bridgewater, interesting free agent option. There are a lot of those out there. Ryan Tannehill's part of that. These guys are all going to be jockeying for starting spots. And, obviously, if you do the math, 32 teams. All these guys weren't starters last year.
No, Teddy Bridgewater was behind.
Yep.
Phillip Rivers was a starter. Tom Brady obviously was a starter. Jameis could be a backup, though. Marcus Mariota's also hitting the market, probably as a backup.
The starting spots aren't just floating around.
And there's all these guys coming in the draft. The Bengals, Andy Dalton.
We haven't even mentioned Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton's going to be on the market.
Yeah. He slips through those cracks so easily, and he's a competent quarterback.
Competent, yes.
Yes.
Good, no, bad, not
no,
really.
Yeah.
So mediocre.
Yeah, he's there. But, like, he could fill in. He'd be an ideal backup somewhere. So there's all this shuffling around of quarterbacks right now, and there's only X amount of starting spots available. if you're Ryan Tannehill, you have to be on edge. I mean, you almost have to take anything because this is your best chance to maybe even have a starting job here in the NFL. So his perspective of this right now is so much different than it would be any other year because we will have the most quarterback mix-up and moving around that we've probably seen in the NFL in a long time, if ever.
If Tom Terrific's not in New England, if Philip Rivers isn't playing for a Chargers team, that's pretty big and different. And then Jameis Winston is a former number one overall pick. Usually you try to keep your number one overall pick through their second contract.
So I want to make you do a little role playing here. I'll make you Ryan Tannehill and I'm John Robinson. And okay. I am flirting with the idea of Tom Brady right now.
Okay.
And I go to you.
You're totally tampering, John. Okay.
Yeah, 100%. Yo, yeah. You got to be better at it.
Hypothetical John Robinson is tampering.
Is tampering. And you're doing it better than anyone else because teams tamper all the time. It's just the best ones don't get caught. So I come to you and say, hey, Tom Brady wants to come here, man. Tom Brady is interested in
Nashville. Got off the phone with him.
Just got off the phone with him. But we like you too, but you got to take a pay cut. Because
John. You know, I might be open to that. What's your number?
22,
23. Oh, no.
Really?
I would say an expletive to you and then walk out.
Really?
Ryan Tannehill's going to fetch at least 25, and that's the floor in my mind.
Oh, well, yeah, we need a cut. We need a pay cut because we want to sign Jack.
Then have fun with Tom and Jack because
right.
I'm gone.
Interesting.
If I'm Ryan Tannehill, if you come at me with anything less than 25, 26, I'm saying something a little vulgar and leaving. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Interesting.
Because I think Ryan Tannehill certainly can go get more than $22 million. That's what Marcus Mariota made last year.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota made like 22.7. So if I'm Ryan Tannehill, absolutely not. Go take the risk, move your family again, whatever, and then just move back to Texas when you retire.
What
about
you 25? Well, 25. Maybe 25.
I'll come back and say, you know what, make it 27.5. 27.5.
Money don't grow on trees, pal.
Hey, we're negotiating here.
That's true.
Come on, John, here. You know what, let's get my agent in the room. My agent's now here.
Your agent's here.
We think that we can go get 29 on the open market. Okay, I'm just throwing it kind of randomly throwing out numbers, but the bargaining chips at play. I honestly think that those numbers are actually in the cards for Ryan Tannehill. But hey, you know, I'm open to the discount idea, but I need that security of at least 27.5 million. And I think I think that's the range these numbers will be playing out for Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, for sure.
If he exceeds
a lot of money.
If he exceeds $31-32 million, then I'm surprised. But anything up to there, I really think is well within range for Tannehill. And that's just the quarterbacks of today with all this stuff going on with the salary cap and that kind of inflation. Mm-hmm. That's the game changer that gives players the ability to go make more money if the cap continues to inflate at the higher rate that it continues to do so. So, from that aspect, I think that Ryan Tannehill, anything that's not coming in, at least at $26 million, is not interested. And I don't blame him one bit.
And if I'm John Robinson, I'm using Tom Brady as a ploy to get him.
Oh, absolutely.
If you really want Ryan Tannehill, then you milk the whole Tom Brady thing because you know Tom's taking less. And Tom's won 6 Super Bowls. He is widely revered as the greatest quarterback of all time. So
Tommy ain't the breadwinner.
There is a lot at play more than just, oh, do we want Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill going on in the Titans front office? When we wrap up the show coming up next, it's time to smell something. It's time to get a whiff of what's in the air for this weekend. What's on tap for the sports weekend? We'll get into that on the other side. Calvin and Campbell, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Do you smell it? That smell. A smelly smell. A smelly smell that smells. Smelly.
Oh, yeah. Can you smell that, Calvin? The smell that surrounds you?
Oh, I smell it. And it's not you.
And it's not me this time, I don't think. But I am smelling something. And it's that time. Last segment of the show here on Calvin and Campbell on ESPN 102.5 The Game. What's on deck? What are we smelling that's surrounding us this weekend? And I'll lead us off. I'll get back in the batter's box, and I'll be Ichiro Suzuki, and we'll lead us off here. I'm smelling what Evansville, Indiana, is cooking tonight because the first ticket of the NCAA tournament, the big dance, is getting punched tonight. One team will receive their golden ticket between Murray State and Belmont, teams that split the season series and that are stylistically very different. It is going to be a different kind of basketball game. Murray State loves to push the pace. They love to run on you.
John Morant was a great fit there, if you haven't heard of him.
Ideal fit. No team in college basketball the last 2 years has relied more on the fast break scoring than Murray State. Belmont loves to move the ball around. Might not be the fastest style of play. I think stylistically, in terms of pace, I think they rank outside the top 100 even. But they are methodical offensively, and they can shoot the lights out. When Adam Kunkel is on, he is one of the best shooters in the sport. Was blistering to start the year. Belmont is, of course, they're still Belmont. No Rick Bird, but Casey Alexander's filled in as a Rick Bird disciple and has done his thing. They were the number one seed coming into this tournament. And now tonight, he's got a chance in his first year to send Belmont to the NCAA tournament in year one. But he's got to get through Murray State. That is drama that you don't get anywhere else. And it's why sports is the greatest reality TV show. And tonight is going to be an example of that, because two teams will enter the floor. One team not only leaves a conference champion, but gets to go to the ultimate prize of this sport and get into play on its biggest stage. That,
the big dance,
is what I am smelling tonight.
What I smell is coming up this week for me personally. It's so ill-timed. I am taking a vacation.
Ah.
And I will be flying.
Oh, boy. Yeah, great time to fly.
In the heat of a pandemic. I'm Ooh. Very worried about my flight getting canceled, but I am taking a vacation to Denver this upcoming week, so okay. I will not be here next week. Going to go ahead and pre-announce that. I'm so sorry if you listen to Calvin and Campbell and you're just dying to hear what I
man.
Have to say.
Yeah, boo this man. Boo this man.
I'm so sorry, but that is what I'm smelling, is hopefully a very fun time seeing the Rocky Mountains,
yeah.
getting up there. I've always wanted to see them. I've always wanted to do a vacation out there. I figured, live while young. So I will be flying in the middle of the coronavirus concerns. Hopefully my flights don't get canceled. Hopefully everything is open in the city, and hopefully yeah. I don't get sick. And that is what I'm smelling.
That's what I'm hopefully smelling, yeah, that your flight not getting canceled.
If but it gets canceled, oof,
you survive the flight, you can tell your kids forever that, hey, I flew in a plane during one of the
I beat the COVID. I beat COVID-19.
Yeah, you won COVID-19 at zero. You could say that you beat it, but no, I've never been to Denver. Never been. I've always wanted to go.
I see. Honestly, if anybody has any suggestions, hit me up, because we're going to go to an Avalanche game. We're going to go to Rocky Mountain National Park, Red Rocks Amphitheater.
Going to listen to a ton of John Denver.
Yes, exactly. So it's going to be fun. We'll see, though. I'm excited to see the Avalanche, because I want to see Nathan MacKinnon, because guy is one of the best players in the NHL. In a conference the Preds play in, too, so I'll just call it scouting. Expense it as a work trip. How about that?
Hey, that's a good idea.
I'll get
actually.
On the phone with the bosses right now. Hey, Ryan Porth, program director. Yeah, so actually, you're going to pay for all of my travel here.
Yeah, because this is important. I'm scouting the Avalanche.
I'll send the report to David Poyle. It'll be all good.
Yeah,
I'll come in and do a hit, you know, about 8:30 every morning on Morning Drive with Robbie.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just make me a guest.
We'll do a detailed report. Do a detailed report. Now,
I'll be at the morning skate.
I am intrigued by the Colorado Avalanche. It's a bummer that if you go to the game, you won't be able to see Mika Rantanen, who I think is one of the more exciting players in hockey, too. And when Rantanen, MacKinnon, and Gabriel Landeskog are all on the ice at the same time, that is magic. That is
Gabriel Landeskog. Love the name.
Gabriel Landeskog, that's a great hockey name. That is anything that sounds incredibly Nordic is a great hockey name. And Gabriel Landeskog definitely fits that mold.
Speaking of hockey, I guess we can conclude the show on the Preds.
Big one.
Obviously a big game coming up. Pre-game coverage starts in 1 hour and 6 minutes on these very airwaves.
You heard it here.
The Athletic, I believe, has them estimated at 49% chance to make the playoffs as of right now. That's been fluctuating a lot. They've got to get it figured out very, very soon, or their season's done.
Oh.
I mean, I think tonight, saying the game is a must win, I don't really like that.
In the midst of an 82-game season, yeah.
But this team, they need this game tonight. Because they don't have much time. The game's in hand. They're slipping away. They don't have much of that leeway anymore. Yeah. They have a lot of games in the next couple weeks. It doesn't look like this team's just going to get randomly hot at some point. Philip Forsberg, everybody needs to get it going quickly soon.
It's encouraging that he was able to put the biscuit in the basket finally for the first time.
That's why I say his name.
Since what, late January?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, especially with the way it is right now, so many teams are clustered together that there is no separation, which makes today's game even bigger and more pivotal, especially considering that this is a tough game. The Stars are a pretty good team.
They are. And we got to get used to play. Like Pete Weber said, you have to get used to watching the Preds and Stars play indoors now.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's because not all their games have been indoors this year. Oh, man, that's a big one. Make sure to tune into that. Like we said, pregame is at noon. Puck drop will be at 1. That is all we have for this week's Calvin and Campbell. Thank you for tuning in. Next, we'll be talking with TD. We'll see you same time next week, ESPN 102.5 The Game.